It seems very common nowadays for some people to compare Trump with Adolf Hitler. But is that a fair comparison? Of course not. But we're going to talk about that and more about Hitler and Hitler's religion with a professor of history from one of the California state schools, state universities. His name is Dr. Richard Weikart. Weikart is spelled W-E-I-K-A-R-T, and he's a first-rate scholar of all things historical, especially related to Hitler and the Nazis. His latest book is called Hitler's Religion, and it's very, very carefully documented and well put together. He's perhaps best known, so far at least, for the classic book From Darwin to Hitler. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Dr. Weikart, it's so great to have you back on Vocal Point. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Jerry.
Sure. Okay, now, you have heard all these different comparisons, you know, with the Trump-Hitler, comparisons to the point where you decided to actually write an article about it, and that makes sense, a few months ago. So what is your comment about this comparison?
Yeah, well, I sort of got pulled into this against my will in a certain sense, because I got an email from a Washington Post reporter who was wanting to interview me about that very issue, and I thought, how in the world did they get my name? And I found out by going on the web that someone had actually taken a photo or a illustration that I'd used in my book, Hitler's Ethic, that was called The Criminal Jew. It showed this picture of Jews in a Nazi periodical and then had under their names different crimes that they had committed. And so the notion here that was being put forward in the media back in February of this year was that because Trump was talking about how various immigrants were criminals, that he was being just like Hitler and the Nazis. But as I pointed out in the article that I wrote about that, I mean, the comparisons kind of crumble when you actually get down to thinking about what's really going on. Thinking about the Jews, what Hitler did to the Jews, for example, which is why the Hitler comparison gets used. It's because he murdered, 6 million Jews plus millions of other people, people with disabilities, the Sinti and Roma, the so-called gypsies, and others. So that's why the comparison works. But then think about what Trump has done to immigrants, not letting them come into the country. How does that compare with, murdering millions of people that are already in your country? So, I mean, the comparison is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, it's not the immigrants, it's illegal immigrants, et cetera. So, I mean, whether you agree or disagree with Trump's immigration policies, and you even point out in your article you don't fully embrace his policies or the rhetoric even, but to make the comparison, really, to me, obviously you lack credibility if you keep invoking Adolf Hitler and and then apply that moniker to Donald Trump or to anybody, George W. Bush. It was common actually in the days of George W. Bush, as you may recall.
Hitler, one gets trotted out an awful lot. In fact, I've been accused of that too, because of trying to look at the roots of Hitler's thinking, and because I've tracked it to a number of different things. In fact, my book, Hitler's Religion, I actually broaden it out. In my book, From Darwin to Hitler, I look specifically at the social Darwinist influences on Hitler. But then in my book, Hitler's Religion, I actually go beyond that, and I look at a lot of other influences on Hitler, too, such as Nietzsche, such as Schopenhauer, and many others. So I've never made the argument, although some of my critics have claimed that I have, I've never made the argument that Darwin is the only influence on Hitler, and I've never tried to compare Darwin with Hitler. I've just made the pretty obvious historical connections between the social Darwinism that was in Germany in the late 19th and early 20th century and Hitler's ideology.
If I could add one thing here, Ernst Haeckel is, if you will, the non-missing link in that situation between, in other words, Darwin influenced Ernst Haeckel, who became, as a German, a very committed evolutionist, and even fabricated these pictures of embryos, and sometimes they're even still found in textbooks, but some of the Discovery Institute folks, like Jonathan Wells, if they're able to show a textbook that has those fabricated illustrations, they're able to, you know, communicate with the textbook people, and then they have to remove those textbooks because they're false. Sure. Those embryos are fake.
Yeah, and Ernst Haeckel, in fact, was one of the most rabid racists of his day in terms of his biological ideology. He actually claimed that if you looked at the human races, that we really should divide them into species. So he thought that there were basically 10 or 12, in different books he gave different numbers, sometimes 10, sometimes 12. But he said there's 10 or 12 major races of humans around the world, and he claimed that each of those is actually a separate species. And not only that, but he said that we could even divide those species into four separate genera. So, I mean, he was extremely racist in the way he divided up the human species.
And a lot of people don't realize that the Nazis piggybacked on these ideas along the lines of, let's create the pure master race, the perfect Aryans, and we'll weed out the Jews who are, they're inferior, but they're inferior in a cunning way, right? And that we'll, in, you know, we'll weed out the Slavs, we'll weed out the Gypsies, homosexuals, whatever.
That's right. And yes, these ideas were actually fairly common in the German universities. This is not just some weird fringe stuff going on in, you know, some weird occultist kind of things, although there were some weird occultists that were peddling similar ideas too. But there were prominent, you know, Eugen Fischer, for example, was one of the most prominent anthropologists in Germany. He was head of the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute. Excuse me?
Who? His name?
Eugen Fischer. Fischer. Yeah, his last name was Fischer, F-I-S-C-H-E-R.
Okay.
And he was one of the most prominent anthropologists in Germany in the late 1920s, on the 1930s, before the Nazis came to power. I mean, the Nazis didn't put him in his position. He was already one of the most influential anthropologists. But he cooperated with the Nazis in helping implement their racial policies because he was fully on board with the ideas about scientific racism. These were considered progressive scientific ideas of the day.
Well, where was the church in Germany at the time, let's say in the pre-Nazi days?
There were some people, although they were a small minority, who were faithful to Christ, but the most of the German church had bought into theological liberalism, at least the Protestant parts of the German church. So over the course of the 19th century, most of the German theology faculties had become extremely liberal, didn't believe in the miracles of Jesus, didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, didn't believe the atonement through his blood. All the basic Orthodox Christian doctrines were pretty much discarded by many theologians and many pastors. And so the German church was pretty ill-prepared to try to confront something like Hitler because they didn't have any truth to push back with. And many of them simply adopted Nazi ideology as well. In fact, some of the most interesting work that's been done relating to religion under the Nazis, and looking at a group called the German Christians, and by Doris Bergen, and then also Richard Stikeman Gall's book, which has its own problems. But even he admits that that most of the people who jumped on the Nazi bandwagon in the German Protestant Church tended toward the liberal side of theology.
What was Hitler's religion?
Yeah, in my book I argue that Hitler was a pantheist, or at least very close to a pantheist. A pantheist is a person who believes that nature is God. And Hitler quite often conflates nature and God. If you read, for example, in Mein Kampf, he makes quite a number of statements where he talks about nature as giving, as constructing natural laws, and as nature as deciding different things. And so he gives nature this persona. And interestingly, the translators of Mein Kampf very often capitalized the word nature. So they recognized, these translators did, that, you know, that he was personifying nature and even perhaps deifying it. So, but not just in Mein Kampf. It also comes through in a lot of other places. And for example, one place, Hitler at one time was talking about trying to construct a planetarium in Linz, Austria. In fact, what he was wanting to do was tear down a prominent pilgrimage church in that town, so a Catholic church. He was going to tear down this Catholic church and build this planetarium and observatory so people could see the heavens. So the idea here is that he's wanting to get rid of Catholicism and replace it by, you know, this awe and wonder of nature.
Okay, how do you deal with the accusations that occasionally are made that Adolf Hitler was supposedly a Christian?
Well, of course, Hitler a few times posed as a Christian, especially when he was thought it would give him political capital. So in the 1920s, in fact, in April 1922, there was a speech that gets put forward very prominently by atheists and others who want to make this claim that Hitler was a Christian, where Hitler said that he called Jesus his Lord and Savior. But if you look at the context of that, Hitler was actually responding to some other politicians, particularly a Catholic politician in the Bavarian People's Party, which was a Catholic political party, who was arguing against Hitler on the basis of Christianity. And so Hitler basically was trying to say, no, I really am a good Christian, you know, so you don't need to worry about that, because he knew that many of the voters in Bavaria at the time were staunch Catholics, and so he didn't want to alienate them over religion. In fact, interestingly, in Mein Kampf, he actually discusses this issue of alienating people over religion, because there was a politician in Vienna while he was living there in the beginning of the 20th century named Georg von Schirnerer, who had alienated Catholic voters in Austria by leading a Free from Rome movement, which he was calling people to leave the Catholic Church, and his political party went into a tailspin as a result. And so Hitler said that Georg von Schirnerer had a lot of good ideas. In fact, he thought that his ideology was basically right, but he thought that his political tactics were horrible. And one of the political tactics he thought was horrible was that he alienated Catholic voters and religious voters. So Hitler was very careful not to try to alienate religious voters. And in fact, one time when he was in prison after the beer hall putsch, Rudolf Hess, his right-hand man, got into a discussion about religion with some fellow inmates there, and Hitler stayed out of the conversation, but after the conversation was over, he told Hess that he had to play the hypocrite in order to excel politically, and Hess wrote this to his wife in a letter, so we know about this conversation there. So Hitler himself said that he was a hypocrite, and so when he was playing the Christian card and saying that he was Christian, he was not being sincere. I mean, and it's kind of interesting that a lot of people would take Hitler's sayings at face value anyway. Don't they realize he was a liar?
That's a great point. Now, was Hitler a man of the right, so to speak?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because there's quite a number of scholars who argue that Nazism and even fascism in general, including Mussolini and other fascist movements in Europe in the middle 20th century, were neither right nor left. In fact, there's a book by a scholar named Zeev Sternhell, who wrote a book, and his book's title is Neither Right Nor Left. Now, he's talking about fascism in France in that particular book. But it's apropos for other fascist movements too, including Nazism. Hitler's ideology and the Nazi ideology was a weird blend of right-wing and left-wing ideas. And he did get a lot of support from the political right. That is true, because of some of the authoritarianism. There are other elements that did appeal to the right, but there were a lot of elements on the left as well. If you look at the Nazi 25-point program, he's talking about nationalization of industry. Now, he never actually implemented that, but it was part of his thinking, especially early on in his program. So there was an interesting blend of sort of left-wing and right-wing kind of things. But certainly he was not conservative in the sense that he's wanting to conserve what was already there in the German political system. He was wanting a radical change to take place, and he was wanting to completely alter the way politics was done by implementing what some historians refer to as a racial state. So everything was supposed to revolve around race. This isn't conservative. This isn't the way that things had already been done in German politics. So it was a pretty radical change.
That's an excellent point. Okay, we have 45 seconds for a concluding thought, and I've got to ask on this point. Jesus was Jewish. Why did Adolf Hitler hate the Jews, and what did he think about Jesus?
Well, he hated the Jews because he bought into a lot of false ideology that had been developed over centuries in discriminating against the Jews, and he associated them with communism and other kinds of things. And he bought into the international world conspiracy ideas that were being peddled during his time. So he bought into a bunch of false ideas about it. But interestingly, he thought that Jesus wasn't a Jew. He thought that Jesus was an Aryan. And so he sort of he liked Jesus, but he thought that Paul and other church leaders in the very earliest days had taken Christianity in the wrong direction and had corrupted it. He saw Saul as being sort of arch-Jewish rabbi who was corrupting Christianity. So he hated Christianity, certainly in its form since Paul onwards, and he rejected most of the Bible, including all the Pauline epistles.
Right, but he also rejected Jesus as Jesus is in the Gospels, and Jesus is Jewish.
Well,
so
yeah.
Anyway,
well,
you...
yeah, he didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus. He made that very clear in one thing. In fact, one time he even made a very blasphemous statement that he was going to have to finish what Jesus had not been able to complete.
Oh, wow. Okay, Darwin's, or rather Hitler's religion. Your website is darwintohitler.com, correct? That's
right.
What, that's got all the books. Again, we've been talking with Dr. Richard Weikart, W-E-I-K-A-R-T. Thanks so much, Dr. Weikart, for joining us. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Jerry.
All right, sure. Bye-bye now.